Okay, we left off before the station break saying that the Warren Commission had no evidence in their working papers that anyone had ever been interviewed. And you, is that true?
Well, what the working memo said, for those who just picked it up, was we're talking about a letter of the Warren staff, one lawyer to the other, saying that when the Warren report was ready to go to print, they were unable to get a comprehensive list of the Hotel Del Comercio guests in Mexico City who had been located and questioned.
Comprehensive list.
A comprehensive
list. So there was a list of some type within the working papers of the commission, but it was not printed in the Warren report itself.
And no, not at all. And then the important thing was that they made a phantom number, and they were going to fill it in with something and fudge the text, which means whatever the people said. We don't know. Just having a list isn't enough. You have to know if they were interviewed.
Yeah, and there's no evidence that they were interviewed?
Well, the FBI went to the hotel, and I'm going to talk about one man who was interviewed extensively. And I think you'll understand why the Hotel Del Comercio was very important, because the Warren Report says that, again, page 305, all known persons who Oswald may have met while in Mexico, including guests of the hotel where he stayed, were interviewed. Well, to be interviewed is one thing, but to look for a conspiracy is something else. The man that I'm going to talk about just oozes with conspiracy. To interview him and say there was nothing is totally wrong, and I'm going to go in that. But at the Hotel Del Comercio, where Oswald stayed, he went into Mexico City on a bus with a man named John H. Bowen. He was sitting next to a man named John H. Bowen, and they left Nuevo Laredo and went into Mexico September 26, 1963. And John H. Bowen entered Mexico on with a permission slip, which they filled out, saying he was married, he lived in Houston, Texas, he was employed, and he was a resident of Houston.
How do you know he was sitting on the bus next to Oswald?
Well, we're going into that whole chronology now about the bus trip, but John H. Bowen's name is Albert Osborne, and the Warren Commission, the chronology of how they look for Albert Osborne, is a long tale, and I'm going to condense it because it's very important. And Bowen was not his name. His name is Albert Osborne. He was not born in Houston. He did not live in Houston. He didn't work in Houston, and he was not married. It was an alias, and he was sitting next to Lee Harvey Oswald on the bus. Now, going back to the Hotel Del Comercio, which is very important because...
But how did you know that he was sitting next to him on the bus?
Well, I'll go right to that, then. I thought we'd finish the hotel to show you why Osborne is so important. But
okay,
we'll go to Osborne if you want. There were 18 passengers on the bus with Lee Harvey Oswald, and the FBI looked for the passengers who came through on the bus with Oswald for one reason. The Mexican government became suspicious because the application to go to Mexico was filled out in New Orleans, and they had a number, a passenger number, you know, like a passport number, issued. And there were five consecutive numbers, which I have at home. Two people, Mr. and Mrs. Del Norte or North, preceded Oswald in line. Then Oswald was the third person, and then Mr. and Mrs. John Menil, I believe that's their name, I have it at home, were the passengers in back of Oswald, the applicants in New Orleans on a certain date to come into Mexico. Well, by coincidence, they all left New Orleans, and they all entered Mexico at the same time, 18 miles apart from at different borders, and went into Mexico at the same time. These five consecutive people that applied in New Orleans to go to Mexico City appeared 2 weeks later, entering Mexico City, and from different points, 18 miles north and south of each other. So somebody got suspicious that maybe they all went in as a group because they entered and left the same way. And there was evidence.
They left Mexico the same way?
Same time. They came in and left, and there was a reason to believe that these people worked as a team with Oswald. And I have their names and their serial numbers at home.
Was Bowen one of those?
No, he wasn't. So the Mexican government and someone in our FBI began to find out who these people were. So they looked at the passenger list because Oswald traveled alone and the others went by car or different transportation, but they all entered at exactly the same time into Mexico City. So the FBI had the request. Each one filled out a form, Oswald, of where he lived and what he did or whether he was married or single. They had filled out a form to get into Mexico. So there was a man on the bus named John Bowen who filled out this form. And the FBI wanted to reach everyone who sat with Oswald on that bus. The bus company had a list of everyone who came through on that bus. They keep a passenger list. So they went to Houston for 4 days, and they looked for John Bowen from December 5th to 9th, and they couldn't find him. Then there were two more passengers on the bus, Mr. and Mrs. McFarlane. So December the 12th, the FBI went to London, England, And they said they remembered Oswald. He sat on the bus in front of them. And he sat with a man who was about 80 years old, who looked about 60, who said he came from Tennessee. That they both spoke English, Oswald and this elderly man, and they spoke English all the time. Mr. and Mrs. McFarland were English. And they interviewed in California, in Los Angeles, two other girls, Patricia Winston and Pamela Mumford. And they sat across from Oswald and the Englishman. So there were these English-speaking people, two to the left, two in back, and Oswald and Bowen on their seat. And Pamela Mumford and Patricia Winston said Oswald was an Englishman, distinct Englishman, going into Mexico City. So the FBI, they had looked for him in Houston, and when they got to England, they were told by the McFarlands that they thought this man came from Tennessee. And so the FBI goes to Tennessee to see if they can find John Bowen. In the meanwhile, January the 1st, the FBI is in Mexico City looking for an Albert Osborne. Now, Albert Osborne is going to turn out to be John Bowen. He has two aliases and travels all over the world. The man sitting with Oswald by name was John Bowen on the bus. But everywhere, I have five indications of people that saw Oswald with an Albert or an Osborne planning the assassination of Kennedy in Mexico City, who could have had contacts through also at the Del Comercio Hotel. Osborne was interviewed January the 1st in Mexico, and I don't know why the FBI was interviewing Albert Osborne, but the night that Lee Oswald was arrested, the FBI asked Marine Oswald if she knew Albert Osborne. I have a copy of that interview, and they asked her if she knew Albert Osborne. That's the same man that sat on the bus with Oswald going into Mexico City in the name of Bowen.
November 23rd, 1963?
Yes.
She was asked if she knew Albert Osborne.
Yeah. And in New Orleans,
what was her answer?
She says she didn't know him. And in New Orleans, when Oswald had pamphlets made for the Fair Play for Cuba, a man named Osborne paid for them. The printer said, this came in later. The Osborne runs through this thing very heavy. Well, they went to Chester, Pennsylvania. They got a tip that John Howard Bowen was born in Chester, Pennsylvania. They went to Tennessee because the McFarlands thought he came from Tennessee. And they went through all the files in Tennessee, and there was a John Howard Bowen who was born, it said he was registered by birth to be born in Chester, Pennsylvania, and had lived in Houston. But in the FBI files in Tennessee, June the 4th, 1942, John Howard Bowen was charged with tearing down the American flag, stomping it in the ground, wanting Hitler to win the war, and spending a lot of time in Mexico City. Now, Oswald, this is the man that was on the bus with Oswald going into Mexico City. Oswald's closest friend in the Dallas-Fort Worth area was George de Morenschild, who was apprehended by the FBI and followed from New York to Corpus Christi, right to the coast of Mexico, and suspected of drawing installations as a Nazi spy during World War II. Okay, we'll get back to Bowen. They went to all the newspapers in Knoxville, Tennessee, and dug up articles about a John Bowen who resided in Tennessee, and this was the lead from the McFarlands in England. I thought he had mentioned that state. And they got information that John Bowen also lived in Laredo, Texas, but he was a missionary, and he traveled all around. And the Knoxville, Tennessee paper had an article 1 week before the killing of Kennedy, November the 14th, 1963, that John Bowen was traveling in Europe. This was a social thing in the Tennessee newspaper that John Bowen was in Europe. This was the man on the bus with Oswald. Now, they looked up the early papers, and in April 1958, they had an article in the Knoxville paper written by a man named Albert Osborne in Mexico City who sent a news article to Knoxville about John Howard Bowen. Now, this man is sending an article, but he's living in Mexico City.
Albert Osborne in Mexico sends a news article Tennessee, about John Howard Bowen, who you contend is the same person.
Oh, he absolutely is the same person. The FBI interviewed Osborne in Mexico, and February the 1st, and he didn't know who Bowen was at all. He says, I don't know where he is, but he could be in New Orleans, or he could be, he mentioned a certain place in Texas where he could be, in Laredo, Texas, the Anthony Hotel, Laredo, Texas. February the 17th, the FBI interviewed Osborne again, and he didn't know anything about Bowen. He says his mail comes down, he has a missionary near Owaco, Texas, but he doesn't know a thing about Bowen. February the 28th, the FBI interviewed Osborne again, and he knew who Bowen was, and he's written about him, and they're close friends, but he didn't know his whereabouts. The FBI knew through the Knoxville paper that Bowen had gone to Europe November the 14th, and he had returned. But they're interviewing him down there now in February. He'd made a quick trip to Europe, and he was back after the assassination. March the 3rd, they showed pictures to Osborne because they went to this hotel, Laredo, Texas, and people worked at that hotel, and people worked at a hotel in New Orleans where he stayed, Bowen stayed. They had pictures of Osborne that they were interviewing. They had pictures of Bowen they were looking for. And on March the 3rd, 1964, the FBI confronted Bowen, and he admitted that he was Osborne and Bowen, one and the same, but he denied knowing Oswald. And he said he was never on a bus with Oswald. He didn't remember him. But four other English-speaking people remembered him very well. If he denied who he was all this time under that pressure, and Patricia Winston, Pamela Mumford, and the McFarlands had sent the clue that this man spoke English, was an Englishman. So he lied about being on the bus because the McFarlands talked to him about it. He lied entering Mexico because his name was Bowen, not Osborne. He lied about not knowing Oswald. He said some Mexican boy slept next to him and never woke up. He never talked to him. And he lied in the Knoxville papers because he's writing about himself. He's Osborne sending in stuff about Bowen. Now
Have any of the passengers on the bus that Oswald and Osborne allegedly, sat next to each other on, have they ever identified a picture of him?
Oh, yes. Have they ever shown the pictures and everything? Yeah.
They say that he was on the bus Oswald.
Oh, but they sent the clue. They were right that he was English, Canadian. They were right. He has a Canadian passport, it turns out. He is Canadian. They were right about his coming from Tennessee. They gave the FBI the clues. It just took him a long time to find this guy. And Oswald mentioned on the bus, this is very interesting, in volume 25, page 21, Oswald tells the girls, these two girls from, they were from Australia going to L.A., and they said, where should we stay in New Mexico? And Oswald said, recommend the Hotel Cuba. He said, I stayed there several times. This is volume 25, page 21. Now, the Warren report says Oswald made one trip to Mexico. And New York Times.
But this reference, this quote from Oswald saying that
he stayed there many times.
Several times is in what?
In the commission hearing, Warren Commission, okay. Not the Warren Report.
Never made it to the report.
Never made it to the report, no. And in the commission hearings, volume 25, page 585, is a report of a man who did research on Oswald for the New York Times. And in quotes, he says, Oswald followed a lonely path during his recent visit to Mexico. Now, Senator Richard Russell of the Warren Commission made a public statement several times that's on record saying Oswald made several visits to Mexico.
But the Warren report doesn't acknowledge that.
It says he made one. Yeah. Now, Osborne Bowen, this character who is lying repeatedly, and it was hard to bring in how much material. I have about 80 typewritten pages on the interaction of this particular man and where he's been and who funds him and his background with the Defense Intelligence Agency. Osborne Bowen came from a town called Oaxaca, Mexico. That's where he came originally from. And in volume 25, page 29, the people that stayed at the hotel where Oswald stayed at the Hotel del Comercio were from Oaxaca, Mexico. Now, before we go back to Osborne or Bowen, let's go back to Hotel del Comercio, because this is how we got started. The memo says that the FBI did not turn over to the Warren Commission staff when they were going to print. They were unable to get the list of the guests located in question at Hotel del Comercio, so they had this phantom exhibit. So I'm going to cite for you volume number and page number, which may go too fast for you to look up, but if you, again, have my address now, if you want it, send me a postcard or a letter. I'll send it off to you, and I'll have it in a book someday soon. Volume 25, page 824, is from Oswald at the Hotel del Comercio. And I have a list of many guests. I won't read them off. It's a long list. But there were some interesting people, three of them. One was Antonio Olivia, who was a black male. And Irma, a gal that was with Antonio, and Tony. And these Oswald was seen with these people. Antonio and Tony were Cubans, and Oswald was seen in their company. And the hometown they came from was Oaxaca, Mexico. And Olivia, Antonio Olivia, and Irma, his girlfriend, came from the same town that Osborne, Albert Osborne, Bowen, came from. Now, by itself, that's a big town, and it may be a coincidence that Oswald stayed at the hotel and was associated with these particular people who came from the same town as the man that he sat with on the bus. That may just be a coincidence. But in volume 25, page 593, at the Hotel del Comercio, a man testifies or sends an FBI affidavit. He was never called as a witness before the commission, but a man resembling Oswald, who was a young American, met with some Cuban blacks. There were two men and one woman, and they sat denouncing Castro. They were violently anti-Castro Cubans. So when you say he sat with Cubans, you have to define what was the nature of the conversation. This man heard anti-Castro conversation, and there were two men. We have two men here, Antonio and Tony, and you have a woman, Irma. And this man saw Oswald with these people. Another party saw him with these. In volume 24, page 648, this is another volume, three men saw Oswald conversing, one with a tall, thin Negro. He doesn't mention his name, who could possibly be Olivia, but tall, thin Negro, and a man with a Canadian passport, and Oswald in front of the Cuban consulate. Now, this man who's testifying in volume 24, or not testifying, he's giving a FBI report or to the Mexican police. What he's saying is, I saw three men conversing. One was a tall, thin Negro, one with a Canadian passport, and one with Oswald in front of the Cuban consulate. And the conversation was, I want to kill the men. The people back there are waiting for me. And he saw the Negro, the Canadian, the American exchanging money. Now, the Canadian, Albert Osborne is a Canadian. He isn't mentioned by name. And there was a black, Olivia, who was seen by two other people at Oswald in a hotel. This is in front of the Cuban consulate. Now, in volume 24, in page 641, there's allegations of somebody who used to be a friend of Oswald. And he knew a man named Albert. He doesn't define his last name, but he knows an Albert. And there were three more people in June and July of 62. This is much earlier. He's down there later in the fall. But if he's made other trips, which has been almost verified, that this is possible. And they were planning to kill Kennedy. And Oswald flew
they
in.
They say almost verified, May.
Well,
that's kind of, I don't want to let that go by.
It can actually be verified that Oswald made more than one trip to Mexico, even though the Warren Report.
Has it been verified, though?
By hotel accommodations and so forth. No, just by multiple witnesses. And, let's put it this way. If we could open up the Warren Report hearings, which is what I really aim to do, there would be a way to get transportation lists of airplane flights from Jamaica, like you have from the bus going to Mexico City.
Been destroyed yet.
Yeah, what I should say is if we had access to the investigative powers that are needed to solve a murder crime, it could be verified that he made more than one trip.
Okay, so the evidence...
It was available, I'm sure, but we...
The hard evidence itself, the physical evidence.
Oh, yeah.
No, but what you have now is statements by many people, by witnesses.
Yeah, that he's been there before.
That he's been there, okay.
And by himself. But if the Warren Commission wants to say he went to Mexico, this time they show the bus ticket, but if we could subpoena or get the airline tickets of the Jamaica flight, it would be easily discoverable whether or not he was. Because, see, this is what the Warren Commission should have done. When there was an allegation, a commission exhibit that Oswald flew from Jamaica, there was no reason why the Warren Commission couldn't ask for those flight numbers like they did the trip to Mexico City. Because he said that Oswald came in from Jamaica with a man by the name, they said an American, English speaking, by the name of Albert, who arrived from Jamaica, and there were three more people, and they discussed the elimination of President Kennedy. See, there is the three people, the Cubans, the black man, Albert, they interchange him. Either he's Albert, or an Englishman. But he certainly fits the description, you see. Now, volume 26, on page 204, in Denver, Colorado, there's a restaurant called the Profile Room, Ramon's Restaurant. In June 63, there was a conversation. It's written up at length. I just brought a resume of volume 26, page 204, a conversation with a man, Lee Osborne, who discussed how Kennedy wouldn't finish up his term. He was going to be killed. And that movie then would wipe
out. Who's Lee Osborne?
Well,
that's an unusual combination of Lee Harvey Oswald and Albert Osborne.
Well, this is why I bring it in, because, you know, I'm so frustrated in 1 hour always, because when you get into one subject and hopefully wet appetite, we could go into the use of Osborne, like the pamphlet in New Orleans. It doesn't mean anything, but it means everything. Lee Osborne is a very funny combination that the Warren Commission keeps saying there's no conspiracy. Wouldn't it whet your appetite to know which Lee Osborne is talking about the elimination of Kennedy?
Are you talking about Albert Osborne there, or Lee Harvey Oswald, or Lee Harvey Osborne, or...
Well, there's an interchangeable. There was a man that came through the bus the same day as Lee Harvey Oswald to Mexico, OH Lee, that used the alias that Lee is to use later in Dallas. They used that same name. And then he signed something like Roberto Oswald on the bus slip, which is his brother's name.
Well, May, you're citing volume 26, page 204. How did this Lee Osborne testimony, this alleged Lee Osborne testimony, come into the working papers?
Well, the Warren Report and the men who wrote it, the Warren Report, didn't use this information, but they collected.
Yeah, but it's in the...
It's an FBI report.
Where did that come from? I mean, how did they find out that somebody in a restaurant
in
Denver...
The FBI interviewed the person that gives their name, their occupation, their name. Somebody called the FBI
Osborne?
And evidently said, I have information about the... I have one whole section of research on foreknowledge of assassination. Somebody from Knott's Berry Farm heard another man talking about the killing of Kennedy under foreknowledge of assassination.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering why you brought this particular thing up. Is it because Ramon's restaurant is a Mexican restaurant? Or...
No, well, I didn't even think about that. What I brought it up was that there's an allegation...
Or it looks like it's a Mexican restaurant.
Well, there's an allegation in volume 24 of a June or July 62 planning to kill Kennedy.
63, you had.
Yeah. But in this particular thing, I brought it up because the name Lee Osborne would make you want to know why... that was used, but the commission doesn't ask or call the person who as a witness. The person who heard the conversation was never called as a witness.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, and you never looked up this person. Now, the last evidence of this particular Canadian, Albert, and so forth, is volume 26, page 417. It's a letter written by a Mexican. He's very humble and plain. It's dated December the 31st, 1964, and it's unsigned, and he has confidence in Robert Kennedy. He writes this very gushy letter. I'll read you part of it. He says, I do not trust anyone but you. I have information referring to the death of your brother. My information may be helpful. I am willing to identify them. It concerns the whole plan to be carried out. Is a friend of Albert, three other people, plan to kill your brother, Oswald, Albert, and two others. Now that's the letter. It's in volume 26. Page 417.
Planned to kill your brother.
They planned.
Planned.
Planned,
yes.
You're
okay.
Looking at my bad time. They planned to kill your brother.
Okay.
Albert, Oswald, and two others.
Okay, now it wouldn't be, with Oswald accused and dead, it wouldn't have been too hard to accuse Oswald of planning it. But the mention of Albert.
Well, Albert comes through this whole thing. Yeah, so let's get back as time allows, you know, like for Albert, and then we'll try to summarize what we're saying.
Well, I just want to go over that again, May, before we leave it.
Go ahead.
Not this particular thing, but the instances you've all cited, these references from the Warren Commission hearings.
Yes.
These all are made in the hearings. The authenticity of these isn't gone into, but with all these references to an Albert and an Osborne and
Canadian
multiple trips to Mexico by Lee Harvey Oswald that are indicated in these. That's all summed up in one paragraph as far as his trips to Mexico, in one sentence, really, in the Warren Commission report again, which you mentioned before.
That's right. They just
lumped all that together.
All of it together. We'll repeat it. All known persons who Oswald may have met while in Mexico, including the guests of the hotel where he stayed, were interviewed. That's not true.
And the conclusion from that if, you know, it's not true, you've shown, the conclusion that they draw from that is that what?
Well, they come because there's no conspiracy in Mexico. What the Warren Report says is we interviewed every person we could on the bus, everybody at the hotel, anyone he saw at the Cuban consulate, and there's no evidence of a conspiracy. That is the way the Warren Report writes it. But when we go back to the letter from W. David Slauson to Willans, he has the authority to substitute what he wants. He doesn't have the list of who was at the Del Comercio. He can make a phantom exhibit of who was there if he wants it. And he can fill it in what he wants, and then he says, I fudge the text. So what I'm trying to do in this hour is to show how they not only fudge it. See, they have to write, and let me summarize how the Warren Report is written. They have to write a thing, every sentence is the creation. We could do a continuous series on the creation of, it's like a novel, it's the structuring of a novel. And no part of it has any basis in fact. This is why, you know, like we've been on the air 8 months, and I could take one show a week. A friend from L.A. called last night. She said, how's the radio show going? I said, it's frustrating. I could do an hour a day. I could take one sentence of the Warren Report and go back, because I've done 8 years of research. So I can take one sentence from this document and spend an hour.
Well, you don't mean to say that there's nothing in the Warren Report that's based on fact.
Well, Mark Lane has a sentence which describes it. He says there's two sentences that are true. Lee Harvey Oswald is dead, and President John Kennedy is dead. They were both killed, and that's true. And outside of that, it's very hard. I had, when Representative Talcott was at the House, and I told him the book was all fiction, he got very offended. So I handed the book. I said, here, read me a sentence. Just read me one, and I'll go to my research file and show you how it was created. Now, that's a pretty challenging thing to do, but I can do it. And so we didn't get a chance to try the experiment. How much time do we have now? Because I can go into Bowen a little more. And how the discussion with Bowen and his background. Do we have time for that?
About 5 minutes here.
Okay. Now,
I don't think if we left it now, you'd have screaming listeners calling the station to complain.
Okay. I'm going to tell you about Mr. Bowen when they found him. He had been traveling around in Alabama at Baptist churches. He was en route to Laredo by way of New Orleans. Originally, he said he was born in Chester, Pennsylvania. They checked that out. It wasn't true. He said that he had no known relatives on these certificates in Chester, Pennsylvania. He has a brother and sister living in England. He worked for the Tennessee Valley Authority in Knoxville, Tennessee for 30 years. He traveled in the southern part of the United States. He's an itinerant Baptist, numerous trips to Mexico City. He told the FBI on February the 8th he had never been to Canada, England, or a foreign country. Actually, he's been to Canada, England, Jamaica, and all over the world he's traveled. He told every time he met the FBI and was interviewed, he told them things that were totally untrue. On the February 8th interview, when they saw John Bowen, you know, before spilling out what he really did, he gave the background of his background with the church. He said he lived in Oaxaca, Mexico in 1958, and he said he had lived at the same hotel where Albert Osborne had lived, a Baptist minister. This was the same man that was going to be identified as the same person. Now, Albert Osborne is a traveling minister, and he has funds that come from all over the Southwest, and he's a Baptist. And what I want to do is just briefly read you some of the churches that are giving him money, because people were called, the FBI did reports on different people that were funding this church down in Mexico. And they called him Mrs. Virgil Dykes in Indianapolis. She never met Bowen, but she contributed to that church starting 2 years ago, since January 1964. She's supporting that missionary, and she's never heard of Osborne. Mrs. Eugene Loving from Oregon, from the Pentecostal Gospel Church, said she knew these two names loosely, Osborne and Bowen, and she didn't know much about them, and the last letter she got from them destroyed, but every month she sends them money down to the church. Reverend, it's Luchan from the Pentecostal Church in Eagle Pass, Texas. He says Osborne isn't connected with any specific religious denomination. He uses two names. They didn't know of any ministerial training he had, but he's receiving funds down in Mexico from these various organizations, and some don't. That when the commission came to take evidence from them, not testimony, but just exhibits, they burned their last letters, or they were funding him. They knew he wasn't a indoctrinated priest. He gave religious instructions to Mexican boys at his residence. Now, I have information about what Mr. Osborne was doing down in Mexico City and his relationship to J. Edgar Hoover, but it isn't in the commission hearings, and it has to be verified more closely before we go into it. But he had these men coming to his home where he, in quotes, gave religious instructions. But he was never known to be connected with any other missionary work. He is connected with the Defense Intelligence Agency. He is not a missionary connected. Okay, Mr. George Fuller in Virginia sent money to Bowen to Mexico. He couldn't recall his address, but he's been sending him money regularly. Mrs. Louise Frawley from Virginia sends Bowen money for 6 years from Mississippi to Mexico. She never met him till 2 years ago, and she sends him $50 in clothes. She's been sending regularly for 6 years. This is the funding of Bowen, John Bowen, Albert Osborne, who went into Mexico.
Where's all this testimony coming from regarding Bowen?
The 26th, in volume 25 of the commission hearings, you can get them out at the Monterey Peninsula Library, and enough people are listening to Schofield that the Carmel Library has ordered a set of volumes of the commission hearings. So people in Carmel who have any intellectual curiosity or any curiosity can be looking these up. It's in volume 25. And Mrs. White from Pikeville, Tennessee, sends $35 monthly to Mr. Bowen. It's never been solicited. She's never met him. She only contacts him through the mail. She knows nothing about his background. He is being funded through church groups. I could go on. We could do an hour of the funding of this particular person in Mexico. Money pouring in to support his operations, and he sat with Oswald. The Warren Commission tells you there was no conspiracy in Mexico, and the commission staff, 1 week before they went to print, is telling you they have fudged the text about the Mexican experience.
It's a mind blower. Where is John Bowen now? Do you know? Or Albert Osborne?
Well, Bud Fensterwald from the Committee to Investigate Assassinations told me about 6 months ago that he thought he meant a violent death, that he was stabbed in Laredo, Texas. But I asked Richard Sprague, who was here this last week, if
he's alive, and it hasn't been verified that he was killed.
So
he resides.
The search is on.
And he does go up to Vancouver, in the Sale of Vancouver, a lot when he's alive, if he's alive. We don't know.
Been interesting. We've torn apart one piece of paper, one memo, and wow.
It's very important that people understand that these were Phantom Commission exhibits, and we want to know how many more there are.
That was my question.
Okay.
You have documented one case where permission has been given to fudge a little. And how many other times have you ever found any other instances it's been admitted that there was some fudging done?
Well, I know there were outright lies, but I never saw them write it in a memo. We're going to lie about this.
KLRB.
But this is the year of truth, and we're talking about memos in Washington, so I think that KLRB should talk about that memo.
Carmel. This is Dialogue Assassination with political research specialist Mae Brussel. I'm Phil Kogan.